Hey gang, are you in a band in Austin and you're looking to make the leap from the band of schmoes to the band of pros? Well, you can start by rehearsing at Space. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. They have 31 spacious rooms, great PAs, some of the rooms have windows, excellent staff, fantastic people working there. You can call them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com and take the talent train from Schmoesville to Protown with Space Rehearsal and Recording.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope that you guys all had a great weekend, whatever it is that you do on the weekends. I had a great weekend myself. It was a very, very, very activity-filled weekend. I will tell you all about it in just a minute. First, let me tell you who's on the show today. Musician, songwriter, dancer, castanet master, filmmaker, actress, Patricia Vaughn is on the show. This is her first time on the show. I'm very excited to be able to get to talk to her. I've known her for a long time. I've been wanting to get her on the show for a long time, and we finally worked it out, and we had a great conversation. Her seventh album, Top of the Mountain, comes out this Friday, May 25th, on Bandolera Records. That's her own label. She's also a businesswoman. She knows what she's doing, man. It was produced by Rick Castillo and Michael Ramos, mixed by Joey Benjamin, and she's celebrating with a release show this Saturday, May 26th at the Continental Club. She plays at 10 p.m., and our friend Joe King Carrasco plays at midnight. She's also doing some other release shows around the state. She'll be doing June 2nd at Sam's Burger Joint in San Antonio, June 8th at Continental Club in Houston, and she'll be touring Germany in October. We have an excellent conversation, man. She's a fantastic artist. And she's a great hang, a fascinating person that comes from a very, very artistic family. Her brother is Robert Rodriguez, the filmmaker. And we have a great conversation. She's got a great story. She's been touring Europe for a long time. She tours all around. She's been in films like Sin City, and she's made her own films. And she's directed her own videos. And she's a fascinating person. We have a great conversation. Patricia Vaughn, her seventh album, Top of the Mountain, out this Friday, May 25th. You can go to patriciavaughn.com to find out when she's coming to a town near you or to see all of her videos. She's got a new video for her song Tidal Wave, which is a song that she wrote with Alejandro Escovedo. And you can see that on her website, patriciavaughn.com. All right. We'll be talking to Patricia in just a second. Before we get to that, let me tell you about my weekend, man. It was crazy. So Skyrocket played Friday in Houston for a graduation for a private school there. And those shows are usually pretty intense, man. Teenage kids just graduated high school a couple hours ago, getting their first taste of freedom, mixing drinks in the bathroom, parents trying to watch, cops trying to stop them from doing stuff. But they do stuff, man. They go on and on. Let me sing. She can sing. Let me sing. She can sing. That's her friend. Her friend was like, one girl was going, I can sing. Let me sing. And then the girl next to her would be like, she can sing. It was like the whole show. Can I have that tambourine? Can I have that tambourine? Give me that tambourine. So it was kind of like that. It was like a 2-year-old and you're trying to hold a cook, trying to hide, keep a cookie away from a 2-year-old that's trying to grab it. It was like that. That was what the show was like, and it was long. It was good. It was fun. We had a good time, and as far as people watching, it's interesting to watch that sort of, like, that age group when you're so removed from it. You know, like, I don't have teenage kids. I'm not around teenagers. So, like, every once in a while, I'm like, boom, here's a fucking 150 teenagers at their teenager height of teenagery doing their thing. About to embark on a solo venture on their own. Of course, all these kids were in private schools. They're all going to great colleges. They're all wearing their shirts from their colleges: MIT, Wellesley, Wesleyan, USC, Harvard, Texas. Anyway, so we did that. Played the show. I did not sleep well that night in my hotel room. And the next day was my grandmother's 95th birthday. So I slept about 4 hours. Plus, trust me, keep track of how much I've been not sleeping because it culminates by Sunday. So anyway, so Saturday morning I got up, I couldn't sleep, went to my grandma's house, hung out with her. It's her 95th birthday. She had a party. I hung out there until about 4, went back to my hotel, took a shower, went to Fitzgerald's in Houston, and played a show with Skyrocket. Got back to my hotel that night about 1:30 or so. Tried to go to sleep early, didn't go to sleep until about 3, got up at 7, another 4 hours of sleep. So at this point, I've 2 nights, and I've slept 8 hours in total. And I had to come back to Austin to do my 700th podcast, which we did at 1 to 1 Bar on Sunday night, May 20th. It was a great time. AJ Vallejo, A&R Peterson, Taylor Wilkins from Otis the Destroyer, Sarah Hauser from Lowen, Aaron Blackerby from Major Grizz. Great time. But I got like about an hour nap. And then I went down there and did that. I was toast, man. I had a lot of espresso that usually would keep me up way into the night. But the podcast was great. We had a great time. I want to thank the people that came out. I want to thank all the guests. You'll hear that show, episode 700, live from 1 to 1 Bar on Tuesday. That's when episode 700 comes out, right? This is 698. All right, so that was my weekend, man. So, you know, today I get up on Monday. I feel like I've been through the war. I do. I feel like I've been through the war. But you know what? I'm very excited to bring you this conversation with Patricia Vaughn. She's a great person. We've been friends for a few years. We've done some music stuff, like on the same bill together a couple of times. And it's always great to see her play. She's an amazing talent. She's a great songwriter. This record, Top of the Mountain, is fantastic. Go to patriciavaughn.com to get involved with that. If you live in Austin, go to her release show this Saturday, May 26th at the Continental Club. And yeah, do it. Patricia Vaughn's great. We have a fantastic conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Here it is, me and Patricia chatting it up. Let's get down.
Johnny.
Hello.
Hi, Cool Rockin' Daddy.
How are you doing?
Muy bueno.
Muy bueno. So we were just talking about Johnny Reno. And
yeah.
You're saying he's a family friend.
Yeah. Goes way back.
Goes way back. Your parents in music or arts or what?
My parents were both very much encouraged music in the household. We were one of 10 children, you know, from San Antonio. My father put himself through college with a music scholarship. He went to St. Mary's University, and he played the drums in the college band. And he always had a passion for music, and he was he majored in business, so he was a salesman, door-to-door salesman for nearly 40 years of his life.
And selling what? Anything?
Cookware? Chinaware. Okay. It was called Vitacraft Cookware, lifetime guarantee, waterless, greaseless cookware.
He must have had an incredible personality, like, you know.
He's very quiet, man, very reserved, very peaceful, but very honest and very ethical and very, you know, wore his heart on his sleeve. Just very good man. He's a good man.
Yeah. What about your mom?
My mom was a psychiatric nurse, worked the night shift to make sure she was home for all of her kids when we got home from the school.
Right.
So they both had very strong work ethics, and my mom loved the Spanish guitar, and they loved inviting mariachis over for any family occasion. So my mom really took to the guitar and teaching us our second language, which is Spanish, through music.
That's awesome.
And so there was always a piano or a drum kit in the house. If my brother Robert wanted to learn the saxophone, which is where Johnny Reno comes in, he got a saxophone. We all got, you know, acoustic guitars. Or they always encouraged that. And the Johnny story is one of our compadres said, hey, if your son wants to learn saxophone, he's got to go see Johnny Reno and the Sax Maniacs. They're coming to San Antonio.
Yeah.
So that changed our lives because, I mean, he had the vinyl record and him wailing away in this 50s garb.
Yeah.
On that, you know.
I remember that record.
White tank.
Yeah.
And Waylon away looked like he was having a blast.
Yeah.
And it was called, I think it was like Blow Your Top or something. And my dad, I said, Robert, can I go? And he goes, well, you got to ask dad. He's taking me. So I didn't. He said, sure, mijita, you can come with us. Man, it was the best experience. It's the reason I'm doing music today. Because he was so unabashed on stage. He would tell stories. He was unlimited. He just let it go. He'd be dancing on the bars with the saxophone. He jumped on my table. And it was one of those family-oriented, I think it was called the Pink Flamingo in San Antonio. It was a family-oriented restaurant that had music. Kind of like Jovitas here. And thank goodness for those venues that allowed music. Yeah. And you didn't have to be 21 to get in. Because it changed my life. And since then, Johnny and I, he's a family friend in that respect. Robert hired him to do his soundtracks for his movies. And we've co-written songs together, Rattle My Cage, Hot Rod Heart.
Yeah.
And he, on my latest album, he was a member of Chris Isaak's band, Silvertone.
Oh, really?
For about 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
So I have two Silvertone members playing on the same song about Elvis Presley called Graceland Trip.
No, that's awesome. That song's great, by the way. Well, speaking of your new album, Top of the Mountain, which comes out on Friday, May 25th, this will be coming out next Tuesday, so it'll be before the album comes out. Poor listeners. That sounds confusing, but don't worry. You'll be hearing it when you hear it. And Friday, May 25th, Patricia Vaughn's 7th album, Top of the Mountain, comes out. It was produced by Rick Castillo from Del Castillo.
Yeah,
Rick Castillo. And Michael Ramos from my childhood.
Yeah.
One of my favorite dudes. And it was mixed. Who is Joey Benjamin?
He was his... what would you call it?
Engineer?
Engineer for those three songs. I had Michael Ramos, who plays on nearly all of my albums.
Yeah.
He produced all three Spanish songs.
Okay.
All my albums are bilingual.
Yes,
all my albums have maybe three or four Spanish songs, mainly because I've always wanted to preserve my heritage as a Latina from San Antonio through music. I use my middle name, which is Vaughn, only because of the reason when I moved to New York, no one would hire me as Rodriguez. They would, stereotype.
It's too ethnic.
It's too ethnic. And they go by name. Yeah. Rodriguez. She doesn't look Mexicana.
Well, Vaughn,
are you Italian? Are you French?
I
said, whatever you want, man, just hire me. That was New York City for you. And I lived there for nearly 12 years, started my rock band up there. I did everything my heart desired. And I said, why change it back? That name saved me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you need a stage name in this business. It's show biz. Business.
I should have done that.
You know, it's business first. Man, it can be cutthroat. So it's like when I see Patricia Vaughn, I know, or they mention it, it's about the business. You know? Rodriguez is the real person.
Yeah. What number are you in the kids?
I'm in the middle.
In the middle?
Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle.
Number four.
Yeah. Did you get overlooked at all? Was there ever any?
No.
And I don't mean that in a bad way, but
it was
with
a good way.
Kids,
I did in a good
I'm
way.
Sure there's some, yeah, there's some
I did,
stuff
I
you
got
could
in
do.
Less trouble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could do stuff without getting noticed.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Well, this album is absolutely fantastic, and there was something I was going to ask you because I remember when the first time that I saw you, that I remember seeing you play and listening to your music. And then I ended up listening to your album all the way home, but we did a show together in Alpine like 14 years ago.
I remember.
Do you remember that?
Of course I do.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and it was
Railroad
such a great
Blues.
Show.
What a great venue. We had Doyle Bramhall come out to that show. I remember you lived there.
Oh.
Yeah, and we got to write a song called The Dark Mile together because of it.
Oh, that's awesome.
He was there.
Yeah. Well, I remember it was you and Donnie and Bobby. I'd never met you or Bobby. And I only knew Donnie. But but I was so taken, first of all, like to see you play there, it's your physical movement is so graceful that it's almost like otherworldly.
Thank you.
Yeah, I remember my ex-girlfriend and I at the time talking about that like so much, like, wow, just like I want to move like that when I move my arms out. I want it to look as beautiful and graceful as that. But then also I was just like, what kind of music is this? Like, it's rock and roll. There's like this gothic sort of like westernness to it. There's like a very arid desert. You can hear the desert in a lot of your music.
You got it.
You know
nailed
what I'm talking
it.
About? You can hear the space.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And there's a lot of, there's
it's like that
gothic
western
stuff.
Mythology.
Yeah, but it's also very rock and roll.
Definitely. I mean, again, Johnny Reno was all rock and roll, old school rock and roll. I mean, he's one of my greatest influences. I think growing up in San Antonio, there's a write-up that just came out, and I'll send it to you, but it's about San Antonio really being an influence in my music. I mean, look at the artists that came from there, that were born there. Rosie Flores, Charlie Sexton, Steve Earle, Doug Somm, Flaco Jimenez. I mean, and how different those the music is.
Yeah.
And I just grew up listening to a melange of music there, from Tejano to rock and roll. And you, like you said, there's gothic rockabilly in San Antonio.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of my stuff is in that rockabilly vein.
Yeah.
The Graceland trip song, you know. But yeah, and as far as the movement, I was in ballet when I was about 9 years old, and I mean, I love Freddie Mercury, and he was, again, I mean, look, no holds bar. He was all over the stage, and he always gave 200%. So did Stevie Ray Vaughan. He always said, play your show as if it's your last show, and I always loved that dance element, and in my music videos, too. My video Tidal Wave has a whole segment of modern dancers in there.
I tried to find that. I couldn't find it. I followed the link.
Oh, it just came live. I'll send it to you. Yeah.
Okay, so people can see it.
On my website.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or Vimeo or YouTube, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I've always loved dancing, and I can't not move on stage, so I kind of incorporated with the castanets way in the beginning, the castanets in the rock show, and it really is a showpiece. And what do you do with castanets? You have to dance.
Yeah.
I mean, I do anyway.
Yeah.
With the Spanish music, it just lends itself to, I'm hands-free, not playing my guitar.
Right.
So I pull out the castanets, and I'd really just like to incorporate lyrical dance, or a little flamenco, and
how did that come to be? Because that is a big part of, like...
The Cruzados from East L.A. I have to say, another one, my favorite band on the planet as well, because their music was bilingual, and Tito Larriva morphed into Tito and Tarantula,
right,
who scored my brother's films. I mean,
yeah,
he not only inspired me, he scored my brother's films.
Yeah.
El Mariachi was his first film, and then it was Desperado with Antonio Banderas, Salma Hayek, that he said he found Tito with Cheech Marin in L.A., and he goes, you are our Bob Dylan. I mean, I want you to act in my film. I want you to score my film. And let's do it. And he did.
Yeah.
He was acting in his film.
Yeah, yeah, and he's great in those movies. I did a show with them at Steamboat a long time ago in the 90s, around that era. Mm-hmm. And I was floored. Like, I was glad that it was us going before them and not the other way around. Because it was such a powerful thing. Like,
right?
Talk about gothic.
Exactly, yeah. What you described. I mean, I wanted my band to be like, and in fact, when I started my band, it was in New York City, and I put an ad out on the Village Voice, and the description that came out was Cruzados meets Lone Justice. Okay? Lone Justice was fronted by Maria McKee, who wrote all of her songs, songwriter to the max, and she owned that stage. She shared the bill with Tom Petty. We saw them at the Irwin Center years ago. That changed my life too. Little impetuses here and there. It was like, wow, she's wielding that guitar, and they're like, nobody's business.
Yeah.
She's singing out of the stratosphere.
Yeah.
She's using her chest voice and the head voice, everything she's got.
She writes amazing songs.
Amazing songs. I was like, if I could just have one fiber of that talent, just write one song, I'll be happy. And one song led to the three song demo led to the full, you know, length CD, and I got to eventually tour with Tito before I even made my debut album.
Oh, wow.
I got to meet him on the set of Desperado, and I had the song ready. It was called El Cruzado, as an homage to him. I went, here's my gift to you. You changed my life.
Wow.
And then I get the call. I need a fifth member for Tito and Tarantula in Europe for 8 weeks. Are you in?
Oh, wow.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm glad I'm sitting down.
Was that your first like tour of Europe?
Yeah, sure.
Did you make some connections? Because you tour a lot. You're going like to like you're going to be in Germany for like what looks like all of October.
Yes, and he always said you'll find the best audiences in Germany, and he was right. I mean, they buy your CDs, they listen to every word you say. I mean, they have such a reverence for musicians and Texas music. And Tito's from El Paso. Yeah, they just...
Seems like he's from El Paso. There's something very El Paso about that whole thing.
Yeah, him and Chalo Quintana.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom's from El Paso.
Yeah, that's a great city. I'm a huge... I've always been a huge fan of it. It's very... It's a border town.
Mm-hmm.
It's very border town.
And my music is border town.
Yeah.
You know? Border rock.
Yeah, border rock.
Mm-hmm.
So you work with Michael Ramos a lot?
On every album, just about, he played on it. And this is the first time we got to work together as, you know, him being a producer. And he always expressed interest to do that. I was like, wow, sure, okay. So I think on the previous albums, I always worked with Carl Thiel, who worked with my brother. And he's from Mexico.
Yeah.
So my music is bilingual. And that was the reason I really didn't go anywhere else. It's like when you have to find the perfect marriage, why change it up? And some artists want to change it up on every album, but I just felt very at home with Carl. And then he started doing more film and not bands. So that was the reason for me to venture out and find a new producer. Since it's bilingual, and I mean, I usually say it's a bit schizophrenic when people ask, what is your music like? It's a bit of everything. You really have to just take a listen. So I really wanted Michael, but with someone else, and Rick Del Castillo produced the rock songs because he always plays on my albums. I mean, he's my right hand guy for the lead guitar,
yeah.
And flamenco influence,
yeah,
and
yeah.
So he said, "I produce. I would love to produce your album." So
yeah, he did. He did a great job on the last Joe King record. The guy
yes,
who also,
he
I mean,
did.
Like that record is. That record, and Joe and I talked about it here, it's got more balls than anything he's ever done.
I was just going to say
and
that. It's ballsy.
Yeah, it's one of those things as a musician, as I get older, I'm always like, man, how do you straddle the line and still stay cool, but not like trying to be younger than you are? And
mm-hmm.
that record, or like Alejandro's entire career, or you know what I mean? Like that Joe King record, you're like, that's what I want to be like.
Yeah.
Like that is cool.
Attitude and grit.
Yeah, and real. Just
and
very
real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy, Rick Del Castillo, he's a great producer.
And
Rick
ironically, yeah. I co-write a song with Joe King Carrasco on this album, and Rick produced it.
That's awesome.
And we each actually recorded our own version.
Oh really?
So Joe King's version is the music video that we just shot. It's done. You can see it on YouTube, Vimeo, or my website.
Okay.
PatriciaVaughn.com, and I got to edit the music video, and my brother Marcel shot it at his house in right outside of Austin, and it was so much fun. I mean, you see how much fun we're having in that video. That's how much fun it was writing the song. But he's such an infectious character. He's just such a fun, loving guy, and like a rocks out like a 20-year-old on stage every night. Again, 200% on stage. I love watching that. It's so inspiring.
Oh yeah, Joe.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, Louise.
Off the chart.
I went to this in-store of his at Antone's Records, and he went out and did like a guitar solo in the middle of
Guadalupe. Yes, he did that in Houston, outside of the Houston Continental.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're doing all...
Yeah, you guys are doing all the shows together.
All the
yeah.
three CD release parties in Houston, Austin, San Antonio together.
Yeah, real quickly, the release show will be this coming Saturday when people listen to this. Saturday, May 26th at the Continental Club. You play at 10. Joe King goes on at midnight. And then you'll be doing June 2nd at Sam's Burger Joint in your hometown of San Antonio.
Woohoo!
And June 8th at Continental Club in Houston.
You got it.
Yeah, with Joe King is doing those shows with
Double Bill, killer double bill.
That is a killer double bill.
Little Lobo is a song we wrote. So fun. We have everyone howling like wolves. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah. Do you get down and have you been down to visit him in Puerto Vallarta?
Not yet.
He's. It seems like it's funny because when he was on here and he was telling me like what he's got a club there and he has like he plays and he's got all these dudes that play with him and it's real cool and yeah, just come on down and play. I was like, that kind of sounds like Sammy Hagar in Cabo, and I'm like, are you friends with Sammy Hagar? He's like, oh yeah, totally. And I'm like, okay, wow. So you guys are like, you're like the Sammy of Puerto Vallarta, and he's the Joe King of... So your brother, which brother directed it?
Marcel Rodriguez. He made my La Gitana de Triana video, Texas Burning video, and he's a documentary maker, filmmaker, writer, editor.
And you're a filmmaker too, right? Yeah, that's another thing, is your music's incredibly cinematic.
Well, I like making my own music videos, and I've also turned to animation. I have done 3 animations using my own drawings.
Oh, really?
Shooting it using old school stop motion photography, yeah, yeah. And editing them from start to finish. So it's I wanted it to be the artist's vision, 100%, you know, and this is, you can't go further than that. It's all... It's your song, yeah, that you wrote. It's, yeah, the music you wrote. It's the original illustrations.
Yeah.
And then you're shooting it and editing it. And it's just, what a way to go.
Yeah.
I thought that would be really cool. So all 3 of them have won awards, San Francisco Film Fest.
Congratulations.
And the latest one, Lorca Huerta de San Vicente, won first place in Madrid International Film Fest. And that meant a lot because it was about one of the greatest poets in the, yeah, 20th century that died during the Franco regime and senseless death, really.
Yeah.
And it's just a way of keeping his spirit alive. And it felt like he was rolling out the red carpet for me, saying, thank you for keeping my spirit alive. I'm inviting you to Madrid, and I'll make sure you win.
Wow.
And you'll meet my niece, and there'll be an exhibition in my name, just happens to take place the same week you're in town. It was just that kind of magical reality that I paved that way for myself by making that animation, yeah, and writing that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really giving it a rebirth. It was put out in 2009 on my 3rd album, I think it was, Firebird. But then just last year, you know, did the animation. So it's like I love that. And I want to do more of that after this album. I want to raise the bar because people are downloading and streaming and musicians tend to just give up altogether. I want to just freaking raise that bar and respect my music more than I could ever dream by just keeping it alive by doing more visuals, more cinematic approaches to it, animations, music videos, maybe short films. I just love visuals. It's just like an explosion of ideas that I have that needs to get out. So I'm taking all next year off from touring, and I'm going to really sit with that idea, and it's going to be a lot more for me.
Wow. PatriciaBond.com. Mm-hmm. She'll keep it coming. I like that. Is that whole like self-sufficient and super visionary artist thing, where does that come from? Because your brother, like as a filmmaker, like he's famous for being like a self-contained
influence.
Guy.
I mean,
apparently you just give him money and then he turns around and can give you a movie and like.
And you know, yeah, you know where the money's going. There's nothing worse than, you know, if you're on a major label and they spend all this buco moolah and then you have to pay it back.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I mean, I have to say, thankfully, when I was under contract with a label, it was on my debut and they were in breach of contract before it even came out. So I've never been on a label. It's always been my own.
Well, that's the best. I mean, really, you were ahead of the times because pretty much everyone does it. I mean, I don't know many people on an actual label anymore.
Now, I mean, for some artists, great. It really catapults them. But there's that fine line. It can be a catch-22. It can go somewhere or not. And I'd rather, I was like, you know, with what my brother did, and he's always said, just do it yourself. It's in the long run, it's going to pay off. And again, no one really buys CDs anymore. Where is it going? To where, like, whatever my next destination or career path is, and it will be with my music. I'm never going to stop writing, but I think people will see my work ethic from the beginning, and they'll see that's always been on my own label. I've always delivered. My album isn't even out until next week, I think, the 25th. I've already had 3 music videos completed, and thanks to crowdfunding, which paid for studio time, but everything else is out of pocket.
Right.
But I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. I mean, this is like again, Freddie Mercury. When they said, when we did Live Aid, that's when we started making money. But then they said, let's go out on top. It's our last show.
Shortly after.
right.
Isn't that interesting for them to say that? Because they put all their money into their art, into their production with the lights and the smoke machine. And they did not want their music to suffer. And I use that as a beacon. Yeah. I use other stories of musicians that make it work on their own dime or, you know, just do it yourself, indie artist, and just make it work, but just don't give up. And I think that's the message on this album, being the triumph of the human spirit. Whoever is suffering in any way, whether it's putting out music or with a health, you know, an illness, just keep going, you know. Just you'd be the warrior.
Yeah.
That's the message behind the album.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? It's a good message for these times, because I feel like we live in a time when people are throwing rocks at each other a lot.
Yes.
Because they can, because they're
very dark distance. Times.
The sort of social media has given people the connection, but also the distance enough to be cruel to one another, I find.
Yeah,
I find it's very easy to be mean to people because of what their ideas are, what they think, or their opinions.
Yes, true.
Yeah.
People need human decency.
Yeah. And the face-to-face stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't seem like someone that is on social media a lot. Are you?
I have my Facebook and my Twitter, but it's all 100% music.
Right. You're not.
But speaking of online, funny enough, for humor's sake, Little Lobo, the song I wrote with Joe King, is about the perils and challenges of the cyber dating and, you know, everything texting and online and everything's online. And it's so scary.
It's weird.
Like, oh my gosh, beware of the wolves.
Totally.
So, we have a fun time singing that. But yeah, speaking of online, it's just that age. But boy, it's this lack of human contact now. A great lack of human contact.
In some ways, there's more communication, but it's not, there's no depth to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's all real fast, and do you text more than call?
I try not to. I try to set a precedence. It depends on what.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. Business. It just depends what context it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With friends, it's kind of annoying to me. Like there's people that don't answer their phone; they just text. It's weird. But then there are people you don't really want to talk to.
I was going in that direction.
You know what I like? I like that the New York Times referred to you as the Renaissance woman of Austin.
That was very sweet.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
You know, again, it's like in this realm of do it yourself, you got to do a lot of things, or me personally, and I really get a kick out of it. It's like, what can I do now to raise the bar, you know, with the climate that's changing in the music industry and every industry, really.
Oh, yeah. All industries. Yeah.
All industries.
Some people that, like musicians, that'll complain, be like, man, they're streaming it, and how am I going to make any money? I'm like, man, imagine being a dude that, imagine the difference between Seinfeld mailbox money as opposed to some show that's come out since Netflix or whatever. Like, everyone's value and the value of art has been decimated in a way.
And you got to change with the time, so what are you going to do?
Exactly.
So but I'm having a ball. I mean, and again, this album being top of the mountain, I feel in so many ways I've reached the pinnacle. I've just given all that I've been able to give, and this is lucky number 7. I want to go in a different direction. Maybe put out singles with a music video and go with that. More animations and more film work like that.
Right.
Something's kinda pulling
cater to the lowering attention span.
Right.
That's the same way I feel too. I'm like,
yes.
I'm not gonna make a whole album. It'll get lost.
Yes, really? Yeah. But it's exciting. I feel that pull. I feel like I'm on the top of the mountain, ready to jump off into the unknown. And the last song is called God's Hand. So just don't be afraid.
Yeah.
You'll land in God's hands.
Yeah. So you had a lot of great special guests on the record. You worked with Johnny Reno, Max Baca.
Yes. He's from Grammy Award winning band Los Tex-Maniacs.
Okay.
And he's a friend of mine. He's a friend of Michael Ramos. So he was really gracious to come in and lay that down on a very traditional sounding song on the album called Wedding Song. It's Canción de la Boda.
See?
I wrote it for my sister who got married. She found the love of her life. She moved to Mexico. And it was just a great love story. And I always wanted to write a really traditional song, like sounding like the mariachis, like Flaco Jimenez. And
yeah.
I had Flaco in my head. And I sent it to him. And I wanted him to play on it or write it with me. But he was the... An inspiration behind the song.
That's good.
You know? And so that one, like, it echoes the Lidia Mendoza. You know, when you hear it, you'll know what I'm talking about. And it starts off with the sound of an old record, mm-hmm. you know, and then it goes right into the song. And so I'm very proud of that one.
What song did Grissom play on? I wasn't looking at the credits
Tidal
when I heard
Wave,
it.
Grissom, oh my
gosh. Oh, that's him on that song? Okay.
Yes.
And that's a song you wrote with Alejandro.
I wrote it with Alejandro Esquivedo, and it's the anthem for people that have given up on love. It's about love the second time around. Mm-hmm. Don't give up on love, you know. And I love it when on stage he always says that. He goes, don't give up on love. I love that.
Yeah.
And so that's what the song is about. I was actually at his wedding reception when he got married to Nancy.
Yeah.
And I used them as a muse for the lyrics. He wrote the anthemic chorus. He gave me this poem, actually, because we had written another song together, Ravage Your Heart, another love song. And he gave me a poem, and in it was, your love is a tidal wave. You broke right on my heart. And he read it to me, and he just looked at me and goes, that's cool, right? I said, oh, my God. Don't use that. Let me take that home with me. So months later, I said, hey, did you ever do that? Anything with that tidal wave? And he goes, no, not yet. I go, great. We're doing it together. Trust me with your words. It's going to be great. And so this is it. So I wrote the music and the verses around the chorus.
Yeah.
And he did the Saturn... you know, dances with Mercury and Venus kiss Mars and beautiful celestial visions.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I chose Charlie Schwan to direct the video. And he says, I see this guy with goggles and tubes. And, you know, it's like beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I went, I love it.
That's awesome.
You know, because I always tend to gravitate towards people and love interests that people would say, what are you doing with that? You're crazy. It's like, no, this is my life. Leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly. You got Grissom. Oh yeah, he played on that, and then
David Grissom. I made it a double solo just for him. I was like, oh my gosh, if I can get David on this song, it's a double.
Have you known
solo.
Him for a long time?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm really good friends with his wife Shelley.
Yeah,
she's a beautiful
great.
Person.
Yeah.
So we were just in Europe, and we sent them a video from Germany. Hey guys, I want to write some songs with him. So, I sent him a Texas Shuffle idea. So. We're going to be working on that.
Oh, that's good. I've never written with him, but I've always wanted to. I love him. I really do. He's such a...
What a talent.
So talented.
Right here in Austin.
He's very funny, too. Like, to me, he's very funny. He's always made me laugh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for some reason. let me ask you, Joe Reyes? On your record, is that Joe Reyes from Buttercup?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's played on my Joe's Gone Riding song. He's played on, again, nearly all of my albums.
He is a superhero of music.
Yeah.
He's like that. You know who John Bryan is? The producer, musician guy?
I've never met him.
He's like the John Bryan of San Antonio. That's what I always think. Like, he's just this masterful guy that anything he does on a record, it lifts it in a way. It's making the hair on my arm stand up, just thinking about him.
And he's a Grammy Award winning artist.
I didn't even realize that.
Oh, yes. He was Lara and Reyes.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Flamenco style. But he does so many styles.
I didn't know that. He was on this show.
So many styles. You cannot pin him down to one genre.
No.
And that's what makes him so otherworldly.
Yeah.
And
the last,
you know.
The last time I saw him, me and him and Salim Nirala did a Beatles song somewhere live. I can't remember what it was, but... he went to the right harmony. He's just a perfect person. And he's so happy.
Such
and
a
such
good
a soul.
Person.
Yeah.
Pure soul, pure-hearted man.
Yeah.
He plays on this album as well on a... It's a Dutch title that everyone's freaking out about. They're like, why Dutch? I said, because Golden Earring inspired it.
You know what's weird? When you follow Patricia Vaughn on Instagram... A list of other people suggested that you should follow these people. Golden Earring is the first part. And I thought that was so weird. I was like,
oh my gosh.
That's just weird.
I love them. Remember the age of MTV when MTV actually played music videos?
Yeah.
I want to be my own MTV. I mean, I love music videos still. I mean, that really brought us to know what they look like, what their characteristics and Golden Earring.
And also that. Twilight Zone was like one of those real cool 16 millimeter like films.
Yes.
Like about like a, there was something happened, like there was a crime or remember like a murder.
Of course
or something?
I I do. When the bullet hits the bone and then there's this vicious, the way he just reacts to being shot. Boom. Yeah. I mean, it inspired my brother's films.
Really?
Of course.
That's awesome. You know, that's a song that if someone asked me, I'd say no. But every time I hear that song, I turn it up. Every time it comes, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yes,
boom,
it's
boom, boom, boom,
timeless.
Boom, 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 boom. Oh, yeah, totally.
Absolutely timeless. And totally. Radar Love.
Radar
and
Love, great song.
When I started touring over there, I opened up magazines, and I didn't realize they were Dutch. That's the thing.
I didn't know that either. I thought they were American.
Exactly.
Or Canadian or something.
Well, the lead singer's, I believe, the father's American, I believe, but he has no trace of an accent. So in every interview I gave over there, I said, I love Golden Earring. I'm from San Antonio, Texas. I would love to open for them. And I got to open
no
for them.
No way.
Yeah, it got out. They put it out to the universe.
Yeah, you put it out in the universe. People say something.
And backstage, I was trying to impress with as much Dutch as I could. Veel plezier, you know, dank je wel for the opportunity. And George Kooiman comes sauntering down the hall and says, alsjeblieft. And he goes, oh, you speak Dutch? And I said, oh, well, a little bit. And so backstage, they were teaching me some colorful Dutch phrases. And one that shot out like a pistol was Barry Hay saying, Patricia, lekker ding. I went, whoa.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't even know.
And they
means.
Said, don't worry, it's a good thing. And then I find out it means lekker ding means like sweet thing, hot stuff, or, you know, when you have a crush on somebody, you know. But lekker, it's also a word that means delicious. Like when you're eating dinner, you get super lekker. So lekker ding means sweet thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kept that title just to bottle it up in a song and a memory. I said, I got to write that song. And it's on the 7th album. It's
That's
all about
awesome.
Just yummy.
What kind of writer are you? Are you like a disciplined get up every day, write some stuff down, or like just like,
believe it or not,
I gotta make an album?
I write for each album, but there's got to be one song on the album that really, like Tidal Wave or the on this particular album, it was the title track that really set the tone, because I wrote it for my friend Vincent Lopez, who came to nearly all of our shows. He had fought a long battle with muscular dystrophy. So he was in a wheelchair for most of his life, but he used to be a drummer. He used to be an illustrator. He used to make my posters. And he lost that battle 2 years ago. And I wrote that song with Bobby LaRoche. But just to keep his spirit alive, but also to be a reminder, to be grateful for our health, my family, my friends, for life. And when you have a bad day, always think of, you know, Vincent, who never really complained. You know, he was always with a smile on his face. He'd always say, I'm here because music is my healer and you guys are making me happy. And we'd always have, it was always when we would play with Del Castillo. He loved Del Castillo.
Yeah.
So it was those double bills. We'd see him coming in with in his wheelchair and just a smile on his face, side stage. And so when he passed away, Robert brought me the music, and the first lines were like, when the fear rushes in and you know you can't win, a pain you will never understand. And I said, well, who can we write this about? What can this be about? How can you say a pain you can never understand? That's a very strong line.
Yeah.
Everyone goes through their own pain. So the first person I thought about was Vincent. I go, it's got to be Vincent's song.
Yeah.
And then the line was in there already. Let's go to the top of the mountain and the pain won't hurt you anymore. So it was a beacon for people that are suffering in any way to know that, you know, have faith, believe in a higher power to, you know, it's all in there. The Lord's going to take you by the hand when you have no more tears to cry. The words are very poignant.
Yeah. It's amazing. You and Bobby write a lot together still and everything.
Yeah, well, he's
still
on this album.
Together.
We
wrote four
songs together, and he's been with me since the impetus of the of the album, and he's got his own career. So we're pretty much again, this might be my last one. So he's got his own career with his solo,
yeah,
and he's working on his second album. And but we met in New York back in 1990, July 17, 1990. It's almost a 30-year
wow
friendship relationship. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting how you can go through, because you're both very evolved and very cool people, mm-hmm. I think, that you can, at some point, your lives mesh in a certain way, and then they don't anymore, but they still work on this one level, and you're able to do it. I mean, yeah. I don't know what it looks like on the inside, but from the outside, you're like, wow, that's a, I figured those guys were that cool, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, you know, so, you know, we took it as far as we could, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And this is lucky number 7. So it's we're so proud of this album, and it's been getting really good reviews, you know.
Yeah.
And well, and again, you know, we're just going to keep going, making more music videos for people. And as long as you're having fun with it,
yeah,
keep doing it.
Do you actively seek acting work?
No, I don't.
Like, you don't have an agent? Just like every once in a while, you're like the coolest person in all of Sin City.
you know, thankfully with my brother's films, yeah. I mean, wow, where do you go from there?
Another thing, yeah. That, I mean, then that's also cool. Like if one of my sisters was as cool looking as you, I would definitely put them in my movies too.
Oh, man. It's, you know, it's a very competitive business. I think you really do need to live in New York or LA to really pursue it. And I was there. I was in New York for almost 12 years.
Were you working?
Yeah.
You had an agent and shit?
Yeah. I would freelance. I'd be my own agent. I would crash auditions. I mean, I would literally crash auditions. I didn't care.
That's good. Yeah, who cares?
I know. I would find out who's holding what where, and I would go and just put my name down. And sometimes I'd get busted or not, but then like, what do I really want to do in my life? Like, I want to be a songwriter. I want to be able to have concerts. I want to be a recording artist, and then I can be in my own music videos, and then I can, you know, I'm the more of a. It's just so competitive. People have no idea. So when I moved to Austin, yeah. I was more available for my brother to put me in Sin City or Spy Kids, or that was right down the road. If I still lived in New York, he would have called someone else. You know.
Yeah.
So that's just the way it works. So I'm glad to live here, and I do real estate on the side to help pay for whatever project, you know, I want to make on my own.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just got to work hard. But
there's the what they call side hustles.
Like, side hustles, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I play in Skyrocket. I do stuff with the Austin Music Foundation. And
well, good for
I do
you.
Stuff here with this. I write songs. You know what I mean? Like you just got like... So you're a musician, you're like, well, yeah, part of the time. Other times I'm like this guy running to another thing real fast.
Sure.
Because they'll pay me to go there. Yeah.
And you are a musician. And,
oh, yeah.
And you, to be that, you need buffers. You need, you got to make a living. But make sure you do things that you really love.
Yeah. So. I mean, that's, I feel very fortunate that years ago, Darren and us started that band Skyrocket. It has really made it so that, you know, I mean, you'd have to work a lot of hours, you know, in a week, and you wouldn't have time to do a lot of stuff like write songs and mm-hmm. play with the Damn Torpedoes and do all this other mm-hmm. kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We're very lucky to have
you can make your own hours, you know, very flexible. Yeah. And that's what you do as well. You're able to make your own hours, and I wouldn't trade that in for a 9-to-5, you know?
No.
I can't. I feel... I'm a Sagittarius, too, so I love to travel.
Do you travel a lot just straight up without touring, traveling?
Yeah, I do. Yeah? Yeah? You know, if I have an opportunity to go to San Francisco... I love San Francisco. I love New York. My sister lives in New York. I have friends in Spain and in Holland. And, you know, I mean... I'm here to work, and then but if something comes up where it's like a few days, man, I'm there. I love experiencing life that way.
I worked with one of your sisters. It's just dawning on me in like 2004, I think.
Tina, Becca, Lizzie.
Tina.
Okay, cool.
It was Tina. Oh, that was good. Thank you. Because I was like, and I don't remember what her name was, but it was Tina. Did she go to Southwest Texas State?
Yes, I believe
yeah,
so.
Yeah, because, okay, so I wrote the mm-hmm. song when they changed the name to Texas State University. Mm-hmm. I wrote the song, and then I produced the recording. I think she was even in the commercial where she's driving. Yeah, so I wrote that song, the Growing Up in a Texas State of Mind.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Me.
it was a collab with your sister. She was great to work with, and then I ended up seeing her. I saw her sing one night with David, and I talked to her for a while, and she's a very cool person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I love my sister. Yeah, she lives here in Austin.
Yeah,
she's local.
Mm-hmm. She's still playing, or
she's also Renaissance. Oh my gosh,
yeah.
It's like, what does she not do? I have to keep up myself.
Yeah. How do you? Are you guys all close?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Speaking of texts, though, the way to stay in touch, we do family texts.
Right.
Oh, so God. Somebody inevitably will text and then it's like,
yeah.
But it's a great way to stay. And even my dad's on the loop. It's so funny. So we'll send pictures or whatever happened to us during that day and then we'll all pitch in.
Yeah.
That's great.
I have 6 brothers and sisters, but I'm like 13 years older than the next one.
Okay.
So there's like a weird kind of satellite vibe. I don't have like that. I don't feel like a part of a cluster as much as they do.
Well, we pretty much, are they here in Austin?
No, they're in Miami.
Okay. Yeah, that's some distance.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty much either here, San Antonio. There's one brother down in the valley and my sister in New York. That's about it. So we're pretty much in the vicinity.
Is there anybody there that was like, hey, I really just want to be an accountant? Was there one of those?
We do have life insurance, real estate agents. But they each play an instrument.
Okay.
You know, my parents really instilled the arts. So, I mean, we have, like I said, life insurance agents, real estate agents, pharmacist.
Oh, that's a good one.
But the pharmacist brother released a Christian album, all original music, you know, of
Is it good? It's funny when people say a Christian. I ran into this guy. I think he's like the mayor of all of Miami. I just was in Miami like a month ago. My sister had a baby, and I was like in the waiting room area. And this guy came in, and we just started talking. And he's like, "What do you do?" I'm like, "I'm a musician." I'm like, "What do you do?" He's like, "I'm the mayor, man." I was like, "Oh," he wasn't like that, but he was like, "I'm the mayor." My dad was like, "Yeah, that's the mayor." So he was like, "So what kind of music do you play?" And when I said I play rock, whatever. Then he said, oh, I like rock. I like country music, too. I like Christian music. And I was like, but what style is it? I mean, isn't it any kind of style? Right?
Oh,
I'm asking.
Oh, you're asking me? Oh.
Like Christian music. I mean, do you see what I'm saying? Like, when people say, like, someone made a Christian record, but is it a rock record? Is it a country record? Is it like a...
It's not country. Well, he's from the valley, so it's got that valley. It's got some rock in there as well. It's interesting. That's a good question. The first song is a rocker for sure.
So, yeah.
Very melodic rock.
Mm-hmm. Does he play out?
No, he doesn't. No, just...
He just makes a record?
Yeah.
Does he put it out on the internet?
Yes, he did.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he does. I can't think of the website right now, but...
You have a lot on your plate.
I know. I got a lot
in my head
right
now. Did we
cover
all the stuff on your checklist?
I'm a little jet lagged, too. I just got back 3 days ago.
From where did you go? Where were you?
A 5-week tour in Europe. 25 shows.
Oh, wow.
I'm a little thinner.
How were you? You're such a thin person. It drives me crazy.
rocking out 25 shows, and I'm not sitting in a chair. I'm kicking and dancing around, and it's a really dynamic.
You go there with a whole band? You take a whole band out there?
No, I have a band out there.
You have a band out there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I do.
So you did 25 dates in Germany and Holland?
And the Netherlands. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mostly Germany. Mm-hmm. And then we have one more fall tour in October for this album.
Yeah.
And then these local CD release parties here. Mm-hmm.
Do you you tour mostly regionally? I know you play New York and Los Angeles, right?
Mainly New York. I haven't in LA not in a long time.
While.
We did play the Viper Room one time. That was amazing. That was really amazing. But no, as an
did you
indie,
have Frankie Fingers as a sound guy?
No, I don't remember.
It's a Scottish guy who only has half fingers.
Oh gosh, no, I don't.
But
remember.
That's his name. It's
okay.
Like, I'm not being mean. That's how I was introduced to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Yeah, it's going back. But mainly just regional because it's, again, as an indie artist, you know, it's just easier and more viable to do a tour in Europe. I mean, you can the same amount of time it takes to get to Lubbock, you can go through four countries over there. So that's the difference. And you can just, you know, just touring one country is very doable.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just making it work that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. Jesse Dayton was in here yesterday, and I was asking him about, like, sales and how sales go away. And he just started talking about T-shirts and stuff. And he was like, man, I just realized I'm a T-shirt salesman. Like, that's how I make my living.
Yeah. Oh,
selling shirts. Like, yes. That's what, I mean, I play music, but I make my money selling shirts.
Yes. Well, I mean, I got that memo too.
Yeah.
The musicians make money with their merch.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I was in Germany, and one day I was walking around. I ran out of ladies' tinks, and I looked. I was in Woolworth. They have a Woolworth in Germany.
Still going
for little tinks for two euros, like $2. I bought like a dozen
and
bought. I already had a white they call it textile stift, which is, you know, you can use it for t-shirts,
right?
A marker. Went back to my hotel room and found some really cool at a dollar store, some feathers for the hair for the girls, very Patricia Vaughn looking. So I'm like, I'm gonna put this together. So I sold the tank and the €2 feather together, €4, and I make €20 off of that. And let me tell you, it really made a difference, and sold out, and then had to buy some more at the dollar store. And I was a t-shirt salesman too.
we all are.
Was fun because I mean it's your autograph. And it's like I say, handgemacht.
That's literally my handwriting.
There you go. So I was saying to them, I have handgemacht ladies t-shirts verkaufen. Ding ding ding. So I felt good about it because it's like handmade.
Yeah. So who's your band that you're going to be doing these release shows with here?
Scott Garber on bass.
Oh, yeah, I love that guy.
Hector Munoz on drums.
Love Hector.
David Perales on violin.
I don't know him.
He's been with us from the beginning, I think. He plays with many mariachis.
His name sounds familiar.
David Perales, he's also on all my albums. Jorge Arrada from Ruby D and the Snake Handlers on guitar. And then in Houston, it'll be Rick Del Castillo on guitar and the rest of the rhythm section. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, double bill with Joaquin Carrasco.
Yeah. Who else? You guys aren't sharing bands, right? Hector doesn't play with.
Well, sometimes Rick will join
Joaquin. Yeah.
But no, he has his own band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's great. Is there anything I'm missing? It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Gosh, thank you for having me. You know, it's just coming out. May 25th is the street date. You can pre-order on my website, patriciavaughn.com. And I'm just so proud of this album and so thankful to all my fans, friends, and family for allowing me to go the distance. I feel like Rocky Balboa in the 15th round.
That's the way to go. That's the best way to feel.
Yeah.
Patricia Vaughn's 7th album, Top of the Mountain, comes out Friday, May 25th. She is celebrating here in Austin with a release show Saturday, May 26th at the Continental Club. She goes on at 10. Joaquin Carrasco goes on at midnight. They'll be playing June 2nd at Sam's Burger Joint in San Antonio, Texas. And June 8th at the Continental Club in Houston, one of my favorite places.
Orale.
Both of those places. All three of those places that you're playing.
Me too.
Those are my places. Great to have you on.
Thank you, Johnny.
Yeah, great record,
good
by the way. The fabulous and talented Patricia Vaughn. Her 7th album, Top of the Mountain, comes out this Friday, May 25th. You can see her in Austin this Saturday, May 26th at the Continental Club. She plays at 10 p.m. and our good friend Joaquin Carrasco plays at midnight. Oh, that was a great conversation, man. I really enjoyed getting to know her. I've known her for a long time. Didn't know her that well. Been trying to get her on the show. I want to thank my friends Juice Consulting for getting her on the show, because I've been trying for years. I ask her at things, you know, I see her at things, and I'm like, hey, you want to do the show? And she's like, yeah, and then it never happens, but now it finally happened. It was great. This album's fantastic. Get out there. You can check out this video for that song you're hearing, Tidal Wave, which is the one that she wrote with Alejandro. There's a great video for it that she talked about in the podcast. You can go to patriciavaughn.com and see it there. Go there. Find out when she's playing, because she's coming to San Antonio. She's coming to Houston. She's doing it all. She's touring Germany in October. Renaissance woman of Austin, according to the New York Times, Patricia Vaughn. And hey, while you're out there checking out patriciavaughn.com, don't forget that you can follow and subscribe to this podcast on so many mediums, on Spotify, on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Apple Podcast app, on Android Podcast app, Overcast, TuneIn, basically anywhere where you find podcasts. You can find this podcast. Subscribe. You'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. Me talking to people. It's always, yeah, there you go. And I guess that was it, man. That's episode 698. That's it for the 600s, really. The next one's a music podcast. Check it out. It comes out Friday. It's me just spinning tunes from people that have been on the show for the last year. Tuesday, we got that episode 700, which we recorded live at the 1-to-1 bar. AJ Vallejo, A&R Peterson, Taylor Wilkins from Otis the Destroyer, Sarah Hauser from Lowen, and Aaron Blackerby. Tune in for the zaniness. All right. And hey, if you're in San Antonio on Friday night, this Friday, May 25th, come see Skyrocket at Sam's Burger Joint, okay? And don't forget to see our guest, the fabulous Patricia Vaughn, on June 2nd at Sam's Burger Joint in San Antonio. Go to patriciavaughn.com for all your Patricia Vaughn needs. Let's hear some more music. This is Tidal Wave, which she wrote with Alejandro. Great video for it. Go check it out. Have a great day, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.
My life begins.